God is good all the time. Amen. Now, Mallory, did I hear you say that you're going next weekend to a wedding in Iowa? Who are you getting married to? Oh, you're going to go see somebody else get married. Okay, I just want to make sure I understood that correctly. Well, this morning we are talking about, anybody know the theme? Joy. Yeah, we're talking about joy this morning. The joy of the world. Yes, we are talking about Christmas, Gaylord. That's good job. Okay, the first two characters that we're going to be looking at this morning is really the first two characters of the Christmas story. And they're kind of the ones that get things started. We talked about them in Sunday school this morning. Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Zacharias and Elizabeth were people who served God in the temple. They lived lives just like you and I. They tried their best to obey God and to follow His law, His rules. But they had one thing that they were really missing, that they really wanted, and that was a child. We find their story in Luke chapter 1, which starts in verse 5 through 10. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the divisions of Abijah. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. And so it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense." And so it's Zacharias' turn to go in and to service the incense altar. And so he goes in there, and the whole multitude of the people were outside praying to God. But we also know that Zacharias had also been praying for him, for his wife, for his family. And we know that God heard their prayer. Luke 1:11 says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense." And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now just think about that for a second. You're in there, doing your job, and then all of a sudden, right next to this altar, an angel appears. And what is almost every single person's reaction in the Bible when an angel appears? What's that? Fear. Why would they be afraid of an angel? Who wouldn't be afraid of an angel, right? All of a sudden, this angelic being out of this world, something you've never seen before, obviously has power and might, and just appeared out of nowhere. But what does he say? Go back one. Please. No, actually, I'll just read it here. He says in verse 12, or he says in verse 11, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." I want to go back to the very first thing the angel said. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." God hears our prayer. And no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what you've been going through over the last month or the last 2 years, God hears our prayer. And even when he doesn't answer it in that moment, even when he doesn't even answer it that year, he hears our prayers. He knows what's on our hearts. Zacharias had been praying, and I know his wife had been praying for years to have a child. And the answer was, wait. And Zacharias had given up hope that it would ever happen. And so when this angel appeared and said, "Oh, by the way, you're going to have a child. This child is going to be great. He's going to do great things for God. He's going to turn many people back to the Lord." We would say, yes, right? Zacharias says, what? How am I going to know this is going to happen? Like, seriously, we are too old. My wife is well advanced in years. The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias. Verse 25. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." You know, today we say that children are a heritage, a gift from the Lord, and that is so very true. And back then they saw that if you did not have a child, it was a curse from God, right? You had done something wrong. And even today when couples can't have children, they struggle with that. Because it is such a wonderful, beautiful thing to be able to bring a child into this world. Now, you have two more points on your outline, but we're actually going to jump ahead to point number 2. And we're going to talk about these characters, the angels. Because somebody else who had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for this moment to come was the angels. We often focus on the individuals of the Christmas story, but the angels had been waiting for probably seemingly ever. ever since the Garden of Eden, they were there. The angels are watching us, watching the world, watching what's going to happen. In Job chapter 38, it says, "Where were you when I laid the found?" This is God speaking. "Where to Job? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" First Corinthians 4:9 says, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." The angels are watching. They were watching when God created the world. They're watching the ministry of the apostles. They're watching throughout the entire Old Testament. They knew the prophecies. They were waiting for their fulfillment. And Gabriel, who comes and stands before the presence of God, was given this awesome opportunity to go and tell Zacharias, "It's starting. The time has come. God is going to send his Redeemer. And your child, who is going to be born of a miracle, is going to be the one who leads the way." They were watching us. They minister to God's people. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not also ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" And then finally, see, it says they wait for God's plan of redemption to unfold. Matthew 24:36-39 says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Not only do we not know when the Lord is going to return, the angels don't know. They don't know God's entire plan of redemption. They don't know the dates, and so they are watching. They are waiting. We're waiting for God's plan of redemption through his Son, the first coming, and now they are also waiting for the second coming. 1 Peter 1:10-12 says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired," the Old Testament prophets, "have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and glories that would follow." So the Old Testaments were studying, trying to figure out the prophecies and what time the suffering of Christ would come. "To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." The angels are watching, they're waiting for this plan of redemption, and the moment comes, and Gabriel couldn't be more excited, right? And I'm sure he was just like, "I'm going to go down there, and Zacharias is going to be so excited to hear this news. I cannot wait to tell him," right? And Zacharias is like, "What? What are you talking about? We're old. Don't you know we're old?" But Gabriel, he stands before God. He knows the thing. He knows that God's not limited by anything, right? He's seen the works that God has done. He's seen God create the whole world. There's nothing too big for God. There's no problem that God can't handle. Certainly not being old. I mean, surely he knows about Abraham and Sarah. And the time does come. They rejoiced at the birth of John. Luke 1:57 through 66. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. With her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her. They rejoiced with her, and so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And so they made signs to his father, "Hey, what are we going to do here?" He couldn't talk. Now, we had one child that we waited 8 days to name. I think that was Sarah. It was about 8 days, I think. She was born at home, so we had all the time in the world. But see, back then it was a lot more normal. See, Sarah, you didn't know that you were you thought that was abnormal, but it's actually very normal. We even read about that today in our Bible reading. And so they're saying, "Hey, his name is going to be John." The mother says his name is going to be John. And the father cannot speak. And so they're saying, "Huh, what is going on here? Why? What are we going to do?" And so Zacharias asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, "His name is John." And so they marveled. And immediately his mouth was open, his tongue was loose, and he spoke praising God, and fear came upon all who dwelt around them. And all of these sayings were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts. And they were saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. What an amazing event. Everybody at coffee the next morning was talking about this thing that happened. And then Zacharias prophesies about John. Zacharias was a priest, and he made this prophecy about his own child. It says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation in Israel. Here, John the Baptist is going to be the one that gives light to those who sit in darkness. The nation of Israel had sat in darkness for 400 years. They had not heard from God. And here comes the message. Here comes the good news. Here comes God's messenger to prepare the way. The third point is, you are a living hope. You are a living hope. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, "We are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. You know, I don't know about you as a kid. Maybe you hoped to get something for Christmas, right? Maybe you had a particular present and, oh, you wanted it so bad. And you were hoping and hoping and hoping. Right? And we are saved in this hope. You know, the reality is the Christian life is a life of hope. Sometimes it's not always full of joy. Because that which we desire, we have not yet received. We have not yet accomplished. Yes, we have the promise, and we stand on the promise of God. We rejoice in the promise, but we are waiting in hope, in expectation. And so, what is it that you're waiting for? What is it that you desire of God? What is it that you are praying for, that you are earnestly seeking God for? God hears you. He hears your prayers. And while you are waiting, while you are living in hope, while you are living in expectation of what God is going to accomplish in your life, he says to live holy and pray. Luke 1:6 says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless. We have a responsibility, if we desire to seek things of God, to live by the way that he has given us to walk. The reality is the good news is here. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. Luke 2:10 says, the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which will be to all people. The good news has come. And we are in this time of waiting. And while you are waiting, don't doubt God. Don't doubt. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Don't doubt God. And lastly, the fullness of joy is coming. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. You desire for us to have joy. Lord, we hear about these characters around the Christmas story. They were waiting just like us. They were living lives just like us, going through discouragement just like us. Good times, bad times, hopes and dreams. And then all of a sudden, Lord, you changed their life in an instant. An angel appeared to give them news. Something miraculous was going to happen in their life. And Lord, you have given us that news. Your Son has come. Salvation has been accomplished. But sometimes it's easy to take our eyes off that. It's easy to lose focus of living the life that you've given to us. We can become distracted. We can become discouraged. We can become afraid. We can allow lust and desires to take us away from that which we know we ought to do. And so just like Zacharias, we can doubt your promises. Even though they are true and doubting them doesn't make them any less true, we are all at times face that doubt. Lord, that's why it's so important for us to be here on Sunday mornings, to encourage one another and to reach out to each other during the week, to encourage one another, to hold each other up. But Lord, we also need to be in communion with your Spirit. We are sealed by your Spirit. We are comforted and helped by your Spirit. So let us walk in the Spirit. But Lord, I pray that as we get ready to go out through the rest of our day and go out of this place, Lord, that we would stand strong, knowing that our hope has not yet been fully realized, but we have the good news. The promise is true. We are going to receive redemption. We are going to receive joy. And Lord, you do give us joys in this life, wonderful things, the birth of a child, reunion of friendship, renewal of relationships, new opportunities. But Lord, we also know that that's not where our hope lies. Our hope lies in you. You are the fullness of our joy. And one day we will stand before you and be received into your presence because of the blood of your Son. And that day will be the best day ever. And so we can have joy even now, knowing that our hope is sure, our hope is secure, because you are awesome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand for our final song, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You.